being a woman does not make you special. Does that offend you? Any more than being a man makes me special. And yet, more and more, they're calling this day Women's Day. When I try to look for gifts, most of it is celebrate the women in your church. Well, then why don't we celebrate the men? Why don't you? No, we're not celebrating women today. This is not Women's Day. Being a mother does not make somebody, even being a mother doesn't make somebody special. It's not giving birth. It's rearing children. That's what makes a mother special. Being a godly mother is what makes a mother special. And what we see here in Proverbs chapter 31 is a refreshing contrast. Listen to me. It is a refreshing contrast to what some women slash mothers have as a goal. I know you're familiar with this passage. It starts off in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, lest you say, well, this is just talking about women, I want to take you to the last part of the chapter where it says in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. So what we're talking about here are mothers. There was an anti-Trump rally on Inauguration Day, 2017. There was an actress by the name of Ashley Judd who said, and I quote, "Women are for birthing new generations of filthy, vulgar, nasty, proud, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, you name it, for new generations of nasty women." That is the state of what the majority, maybe it's not the majority, but I almost would have to say the majority of women in our country today. Vulgar, nasty, to the cheers of thousands of women. And then Hillary Clinton tweeted support for all of the women who got up to speak that day by, here's the tweet, I quote, "Thanks for standing and speaking and marching for our values. Important as ever, I truly believe we're always stronger together." Our values? Our values? Vulgar? Nasty? I want to contrast the vulgar with the virtuous, because that's what you have in Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman. What does an ideal mother teach her son? Well, don't ask a four-year-old. Don't even ask a teenager. Their ideas stem from present immature desires and impulses. And don't ask nasty, vulgar women. Ask a mother, a woman that, according to verse 30, feareth the Lord and is concerned for her son. Go to verse 1 of this chapter, Proverbs chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. The prophecy. This is not a prophecy as in foretelling the future. It has to do with a burden that mom utters to her son. She's got a burden, and she communicates this to her son, who is King Lemuel. What is the burden that she utters to her son? Verse 2, "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows?" Perhaps this is a reference to, like Hannah, when she gave her vow for Samuel. That maybe this mother had given a vow to God about her son. Verse 3, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." In other words, avoid promiscuous women. Verse 4, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." In other words, don't drink, son. Be a teetotaler. The time you can drink is when you're sick. called NyQuil. Verses 8 and 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So she's still talking to her son. Judge righteously. Do what is right. And then we get into the next verses. 22 verses. Verses 10 to 31 of Proverbs 31. And it starts off with, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, what you see in Proverbs 31 does not present an impossibility. I know many people view it that way. Lemuel's mother obviously viewed it as possible, albeit difficult. And I find it interesting that the first letter of the first word of each of these 22 verses correspond to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 verses. Let's say we would put this in English. It would mean that verse 10 starts with an A, verse 11 with B, verse 12 with C, right through the alphabet. So each letter of the first verse, of the first word of each of these verses corresponds to the Hebrew alphabet as you go through the alphabet. Why would she do this? Perhaps so that her son could remember. You know what it's like. I try to preach and I sometimes try to alliterate. Why? To aid in memory. Think about this. As Lemuel was trying to think, what did my mom teach me? Well, Aleph is the first Hebrew letter. Oh yeah, it started with an Aleph. And he could go through and say, who can find a virtuous woman? Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Wow, Zion, Haith. He goes right through the Hebrew alphabet. And he memorizes this according to what his mom had taught him. By the grace of God, ladies and gentlemen, but mothers especially, women can attain what is listed in these verses, but it's only possible by the indwelling and the power of the Holy Spirit, no other way. The key is chapter 30, is verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So all the praises that are listed in these 22 verses, that comes from a woman who fears the Lord. So you may be saying this morning, you remember, I've got to write all these things down, and I'm going to work on verse 10 tomorrow, and verse 11 the next day, and so forth and so on. No, remember one thing. Fear God. Fear God. What we see here are indications of what a woman is like who truly fears God. That's what you're going to see this morning. Vulgar women are not rare. Thousands of them marched, but a virtuous woman, who can find? I will say this, you could not find one virtuous woman that day in that crowd. How do I know that? Because no virtuous woman would stand with those women and listen to that vulgarity and dress like they did. A virtuous woman, as a mother, will have verse 28 type children. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her virtues are stated as possessions throughout the chapter. Let me just go through them because I have them highlighted in my Bible. Follow with me as I go to verse 10. And notice where it says her. In verse 10, it's her price. Verse 11, her husband. Verse 12, at the end of the verse, her life. Verse 13, end of the verse, her hands. Verse 14, her food. Verse 15, her household, her maidens. Verse 16, her hands. 17, her loins, her arms. 18, her merchandise, her candle. 19, her hands twice. Verse 20, her hand again. Again in verse 20, her hands. Verse 21, her household. Verse 22, her clothing. Verse 23, her husband. Verse 25, her clothing. Verse 26, her mouth, her tongue. Verse 27, her household. Verse 28, her children, her husband. Verse 31, it closes this way, her hands, her own works. Her, referring to this virtuous woman that King Lemuel was challenged with, who can find someone like this? Who can find someone like this? Her virtues are stated as possessions. Here's the qualities found in a godly mother. That's the theme this morning. Qualities found in a godly mother. Here's the first one. She is a good wife. She is a good wife. Verses 10 through 12, let's read those verses. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he will have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Then jump down to verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Proverbs 31 poetically presents the picture of an ideal wife. An ideal woman makes an ideal wife, makes an ideal mother. And typically, this is a passage that can be preached on Mother's Day, and rightfully so, because verse 28 does mention that her children arise up and call her blessed. Why? Not because her focus is on her children, and not because her life revolves around her children. Let the passage speak for itself. The passage begins with her husband and ends with her husband. So a good wife, number one, is rare. Verse 10, virtuous speaks of strength, moral goodness, fine manners, and culture. It's the same word used in Proverbs 12:4, where it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The opposite is found in Ecclesiastes 7:26, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her heart's as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Etiquette, refinement was once sought by women. Few seek it today. Who can find it? It's almost non-existent. But I want to tell you something. It is not non-existent. It is simply rare. That same phrase, who can find, is also found in a passage about men. I just discovered this week. Let me read you the verse, because these kind of men are rare. You ready for it, gentlemen? It's found in Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? I'll answer that. You can't find him anymore. It's hard to find a faithful man. But they can be found. Who can find a virtuous woman? It's hard, but she can be found. So before a man complains about finding a virtuous woman, ask yourself, am I a faithful man? But women today complain about rough treatment. And yet they're crass, vulgar, sloppy dressers. The feminist movement is damaging true womanhood. The remaining verses describe this woman of strength. So a good wife is rare, verse 10. Verse 11, a good wife is trustworthy. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She earns the full confidence of her husband, who trusts in her chastity, trusts in her conduct. She doesn't bring reproach upon him. When he is gone abroad, the affairs at home are as if he were there. He knows that she is not wasteful. She is just as concerned about the finances as he is. Money doesn't burn a hole in her purse. He can safely trust in her. She is trustworthy. Thirdly, she is an asset. Verse 10 again, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She never damages his reputation. This is what she is, not when they're first married, just when they're first married, or now and then, but this is how she is faithfully. And it's not until he dies, but all the days of, it doesn't say all the days of his life. All the days of whose life? Her life. Why is that? Because if she survives him, she takes care of the children, the estate, and all concerns he left behind as if he were still there. I again take you to Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 27:15, though, is the contrast. A continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. I think you'll get the idea when you look outside. And if you're at home and you hear that constant dripping, she is an asset. Fourthly, a good wife is meek. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Does this offend you? She's not the one who is known. Who is? Her husband is known in the gates, the center of public life, where the prophets prophesied, where legal transactions were made in ancient days. In other words, she is not advancing herself, she is advancing him. She does not operate in such a way that she is noticed, but that he is noticed. Some say that this has to do with the excellence of the clothes that she makes. She makes him a good dresser. That's what makes Marvin the man he is. Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Folks, it's the same thing as Christ and the church. Jesus Christ is to receive the glory, not the church. Matthew Henry says, by his cheerful countenance and pleasant humor, it appears that he has an agreeable wife at home. I've often heard it said, the husband is the head, but the wife is the... She's the heart. She sets the tone. You've heard this little phrase. Complete it for me. If mama ain't happy. Now that's not just this little ditty. That is true. And it should not be that way. But that's true. She sets the tone. You know what some women will therefore do? They will use that as a manipulative tool in order to get their way. No, she is meek. Behind every good man, there is. It's a good woman. The opposite is found in Proverbs 25:24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. I wonder if that's not why these Hollywood people get big houses. So that she can be on way on the other side of the house. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Why? She's the heart. Mothers, I challenge you with this. The first quality of a godly mother is she is a good wife. Secondly, she's a good worker. We see in verse, flax and worketh willingly with her hands. This is her disposition. This is what she is communicating to her hands. She likes to work. Work is a delight to her. Wool and flax she seeks. It's homemaking. Women today sheepishly desire to be a good wife and a homemaker because they're scared of what the world's going to think. Don't be ashamed of that, ladies. There is no shame in being a godly homemaker. I think I told you the story when I was the registrar at Bob Jones University. Students would come to me to see me about changes of majors. And this young lady came to my office one day and she said, I don't know what to do about my major. I said, well, what's your major? She said, I'm a nursing major. So I pulled up her grades. And Jamie, she was making D's in chemistry and in biology. And she was... And I said, I don't think the Lord's called you to be a nurse. Well, why not? I said, because I wouldn't want you dealing with me if I'm sick. And as we talked, I said, do you really want to be a nurse? She said, no. I said, then why are you majoring in this? Listen, because my mom and my dad want me to be a nursing major. I said, let me ask you something. What do you think the Lord would have you do? What is your desire? She said, and she started crying. She said, I just want to be a wife and a mother. And she hung her head. I said, don't hang your head. That is a glorious thing. That is glorious. And I encouraged her. We changed her major that day to something else. But I'm saying that to say this. Women today think it's a shame. No, that is a glorious thing. That is a wonderful thing that God has placed you in the home to be the wife at home. Listen to what Paul says to Titus in chapter 2 when he says to the elderly women, here, teach the young ladies to be good homemakers, to love their husbands. She works willingly. Secondly, she works intelligently. Look at verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. That is, she's enterprising. She's calculating. She takes risks. What her own ground does not produce, or what her own hands are not able to produce, she has the ability to import. You say, well, I'm not interested in importing. I don't want to go to some foreign land. That's not what it's talking about. Ladies, you're going to like this. And I've seen this even in commentaries. She likes to shop. She loves to shop. Not impulsively, but she's willing to go far to find a good deal. She works intelligently. I would like to praise my wife right here. She loves yard sales. Why? I can find a good deal. She loves Goodwill. She can find a good deal. And she comes home with stuff. And where'd you get that? Oh, I paid 50 cents for this. She works intelligently. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Here she has a business mind. She considereth. By the way, she's not impulsive. She considereth. She puts thought into it. What she purchases does not incur debt. It's with the fruit of her hands. In other words, the fruit of her earnings. She doesn't just sit or let that sit. It yields a return. It produces fruit. She works intelligently. Thirdly, she works energetically. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She rises when it's still dark. She places the care of others above her own comfort, even while others, including the maidens, are asleep. You say, see, she's got maidens. See, this doesn't apply to me. How many of you have a dishwasher? Hands down. How many of you have a washing machine? Have you ever listed the maidens you have in your home? Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. We're talking about the fact that she works energetically. She girdeth her loins with strength. That means energetically. She has a healthy attitude toward her work. But that work is not limited to working with her fingers only, but even the arms. It's physically hard work. I think of the pioneer women and the difficulties that they faced. Strong. That's what this is talking about. That's the idea here. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. What's this whole point we're talking about right now? She works energetically. Her eyes are turned everywhere, keeping oversight on all sides of her household, it says. But she does not intermeddle in the concerns of other homes and houses. It talks about the bread of idleness there in verse 27. Some eat and drink because they can find nothing else to do. I like what Matthew Henry said here. He said, when we have nothing to do, the devil will find us something to do. And that's what women are finding to do as they turn on the TV and watch somebody like Oprah or some soap opera. That is not a Proverbs 31 woman. Fourthly, she works diligently. Look at verses 18 and 19. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 18, quality merchandise. Why? She doesn't waste any time. She works into the night. It used to be said of elaborate pieces of work, it smells of the lamp. Why? Because somebody stayed up and late, worked on it, and made something good. Verse 19, spinning is honorable. That is not a curtailment of freedom. It is not below her dignity to spin. She is a good worker. Thirdly, She's a good waiter. She waits upon, number one, the needy. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Note, it's the needy, not the wanters, but the truly needy. She's not giving money or alms. She's not throwing a gift from a distance. She truly has compassion and mercy, and it extends beyond her home. And ladies, there's none more needy than those who need Jesus Christ as their Savior. She's a soul winner. She waits upon the needy. Secondly, she waits upon her own household. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's proactive, so she's not afraid of the snow. She's ready for the snow. And notice the word scarlet. It's not just protective clothing, it's dignified clothing she provides. She waits upon the needy, she waits upon her household, she waits upon herself. Look at verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. This is here talking about her outer garments. She adorns herself attractively. She's not dumpy. Silk and purple, the clothing she makes for herself is high quality. Not only outer garments, but verse 25, her inner garments. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength is the same word as the word virtuous in verse 10. She has power over circumstances which would literally shatter other people. She has dignity. She has optimism. She shall rejoice in time to come. Literally, she laughs at the future. She has no fear of the future because she does what is hard and necessary now. She does not fear old age. She knows that she has lived life to the fullest, and she's not a worrier. She's a good waiter. She waits upon the needy, her household, herself. Fourthly, she waits upon her customer. You mean she's got customers? Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. The quality of her work goes beyond her home. Everything that she does is excellent and worthy of buyers. She waits upon her customer. What are the qualities of a good mother? She's a good wife, a good worker, a good waiter. Lastly, she's a good winner. She's a good winner. She wins the praise of, number one, her students. Look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Opens her mouth with wisdom. She's not talkative. She's not irritating. She's not gossipy. Somebody once said that an ounce of mother is worth a ton of preaching. Who's teaching King Lemuel this? His mother. No wonder he can say in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. She opens her mouth with wisdom. I used to say that I was able to get through History of Civilization as a freshman in college because I would have to sit through my mom's lectures. And I well remember my mom's lectures. I could take you to the farmhouse there near Monroe, Nebraska, there to the kitchen where I would get caught. And then if any of my brothers happened to come through, she would say, "You sit down too." And I am not kidding. She would lecture us for an hour just on things that are going to happen in life. Here's what's to come. And you guys are doing this, you're doing this, you're doing that. And she would lecture us. And if I would happen to yawn, she would note it. And you sit there for another 30 minutes just because I yawned. This was said of the mother of George Washington. She was pious, pure, and true. The mother of Nero was a murderess. The mother of Patrick Henry was marked by her superior conversational powers. It will be observed, somebody said, that in each of these examples, the sons inherited the prominent traits of the mother. And that's also true with the fact that her teaching is tempered with kindness. Verse 26. So she wins the praise of her students. Verse 28, she wins the praise of her grown children. her children arise up and call her blessed. Due to her influence and the strength that we see in this chapter, due to being a virtuous woman, she wins the praise of her grown children. But thirdly, not just her grown children, she wins the praise of her husband. Verses 28 and 29, her husband also, and he praiseth her, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. In the context, he also praises her and gives the children an example to follow in the fact that he is praising his wife. She wins the praise of her students, of her grown children, of her husband. She wins, fourthly, the praise of her products. Look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She wins the praise of her products, the fruit of her hands. Listen, if a tree is known by its fruits, if it's a good tree, it's good fruit. The tree must be good. Are her children well behaved? It is not by accident. That's the fruit. She does not seek applause. But a virtuous woman, her works earn applause, earns praise. It speaks for herself, all of her fruits. She wins the praise of her students, of her grown children, of her husband, of her products. Lastly, she wins the praise of her community. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She wins the praise of her community. Notice in verse 30 that outward qualities are empty. The word deceitful is listed there. We tend to judge the inner by the outer. But it says vain or empty, fleeting, temporary. When the beauty is gone or of no longer of importance, the ugliness of the real person dominates. This is a good verse for all young men to remember. Proverbs 11:22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. That kind of hits right where it counts, doesn't it? Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, talking about women, whose adorning, let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Matthew Henry said, beauty recommends none to God, nor is it any certain indication of wisdom and goodness, but it has deceived many a man who has made his choice of a wife by it. Outward qualities are empty. But let's look at the inward quality in verse 30. It's that little phrase, feareth the Lord. Godly character. No woman can even hope to be an adequate wife and mother until she knows the fear of the Lord. Now, I've listed in this sermon this morning 17 separate things. That's just the way that I outline it, but there's many more than that. And so I know that you're thinking, wow, I've got to work on these 17 things. No, just one thing. It's like Jesus told Martha. Martha, one thing is needful, one thing. So I'm going to reduce everything you've heard this morning to one thing. And it's what the writer does. She fears the Lord. Really, these 17 things are mere indicators as to whether she fears the Lord. So we can just take all these things and compress them into one thing. One thing. It's like what Paul said in Philippians when he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are ahead, reaching forth into those things which are before. He reduces it to one thing, and that's what we're doing here. One thing. Ladies, mothers, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. We've been looking at Ruth. And Boaz says this of Ruth in the chapter we have not yet covered in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11. Boaz says this of Ruth, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art And then he uses the same word that is used in verse 10. It's one of the other rare passages where that word virtuous is used. And Boaz says to Ruth, all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. That's why we say she wins the praise of her community. The whole city knows. Somebody asked Napoleon once, what is the great want of the French nation? He replied with one word, mothers. And that is the great need of America and the home today, its mothers. Not just females who bear children, but mothers as the Bible portrays them, virtuous women. One who feareth the Lord. One for whom her relationship with God is number one. Are you a Proverbs 31 woman? Are you a Proverbs 31 mother?